Yeah, the world around us is all messed up. Yeah, America is shaking, but God remains God. He's a worker of miracles. Let's glorify him today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one big, big difference between this radio broadcast and typical conservative talk radio, which I'm not downing or criticizing, but one big difference is one big word, namely God. God. God is at the center of what we do. God is at the center of how we think. Now, that may be the same for some other conservative talk show hosts, but our goal here is always ultimately to point people to the Lord. Our goal here is whatever problem we put before you to say there is a solution from above. There is an answer. So as much as we talk about all the madness in the culture and all the shaking in America and all the crises around the world, we do so not in an alarmist way as if the sky is falling, but rather in a constructive way to say God has a better way. There is an answer. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to glorify the Lord and encourage one another. We're going to glorify the Lord so that everyone listening, whether you're going through personal trauma, whether you're going through family trauma, whether you're going through national world trauma, whether you are depressed, whether you are dying, whether you are hopeless or discouraged, bound or messed up in one way or another, whether you're just pulling your hair out over what's happening in the world around you, whatever your situation, I want to tell you there is hope. Any of you come from church culture, church background, where you would have testimony services or testimonies in a service? Church in which I got saved, virtually every service, we had time for testimony. It was short, normally. We'd sing 2-3 songs. And then who had a testimony? I often would have a testimony, and you'd stand up and share it and sit down, someone else, testimony, and then prayer requests, and then maybe offering, then a little more worship, then a message, then we'd come to the altar and pray for a while. And, you know, those testimonies were encouraging. I have been around other believers, and we start telling stories of what God has done, and suddenly the atmosphere changes. I mean, suddenly you go from gloom and doom and depression and hopelessness and fear to hope, to encouragement, to faith, because you hear what God has done. That's why the scripture is so full of testimony to what God did in history. That's why the gospels tell you the same stories over and over again. That's why the Old Testament repeatedly points back to what God did so that our eyes will be in the right place. You know, even on a practical level, when I made a radical lifestyle transformation with God's help and with Nancy's help beginning August 24th, 2014, and went from 275 pounds, excuse me, to 180 pounds in less than 8 months, not by dieting, but by lifestyle transformation, changing what I ate, changing my relationship to food. As you know, our story recounted in Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Once I got over the food addictions, it was about 3 days of withdrawal, worse than getting off drugs for me. In 1971. Well, once I did that, then the issue was renewing my mind. And every day, Nancy would send me a new testimony of someone who was following the same lifestyle guidelines that I was, would send me a story. And these were dramatic, and these were incredible, and these were amazing. And those stories encouraged me. Those stories helped me. Those stories blessed me. If they could do it, I could do it. And if they could change so dramatically, I could change so dramatically. God is not a respecter of persons. He'll have mercy on all who call out to him through Jesus. So if you have a genuine testimony of that which human beings would call miraculous or impossible, give me a call today, 866-348-7884. In the second hour, we're going to interview a medical doctor who's put out a book of testimonies all from medical doctors. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here we are, 866-348-7884, the number to call. Does God still work miracles today? Does God still do impossible things today? Does God still heal the sick? Does God still deliver the oppressed? Now listen. Here's why this is so important. It's not just important on a personal level. It's not just important in terms of what's going on in your own life. Maybe you're a drug addict right now. Maybe you're a believer. You know the Lord and you're experiencing a crisis. Maybe your marriage is falling apart. And you're wondering, is there any hope? Maybe the doctors have given you no hope physically and you're wondering, does God still heal? Okay, that's important. That's life and death. That's big. That's major. And I affirm the importance of these things on a personal, individual level. But I also address them because if God can deliver personally, he can deliver nationally. If God can save personally, he can save nationally. If God could set a person free, he could set a society free. So I'm looking at this on a personal level, and I'm looking at this on a national level as well. And just looking at social media, as folks began to respond when I posted this, and I said we're going to be talking about God working miracles today, just looking at some posts, one man talking about his child with a brain tumor, and the third MRI, it wasn't there. It had disappeared. Oh, I know people who have died of brain cancer, some that we prayed for, one in particular for 2.5 years, and we lost him tragically, tragic for his whole family, obviously. I understand that. And I understand that you can't just snap your fingers and manufacture a miracle whenever you want it. But God does intervene and God does heal miraculously. I'm looking at another one talking about delivered from 12 years of drug addiction. I hear over and over from people who have stories that in the natural, it would have been written off. In the natural, no one would have said there's any possibility of any chance. And yet, God himself intervened and God himself did miracles. 866-348-7884. By the way, before I share some things from my own life and from my own experience, let me encourage you to check out my latest article on thelineoffire.org. It's getting a lot of attention very quickly. Was Franklin Graham right to call for a Disney boycott? Whatever we do, let's do it with consistency. Otherwise, our critics will have every right to call us hypocrites. Was Franklin Graham right to call for a Disney boycott? It's my latest article on thelineoffire.org. Let me tell you a story from early on in my life as a believer. So most of you know, came to faith in 1971. At that point, I was a heroin shooting, LSD using, hippie rock drummer, 16 years old, Jewish kid, full of rebellion, full of pride, full of anger, full of self-indulgence with drugs and drinking, although drugs even more than drinking, known as Drug Bear or Iron Man because of the massive quantities of drugs I would take and put into my system. And I thought that made me cool, just typical youthful ignorance and idiocy in my case. Thankfully, many young people are smarter than I was about these things. But that was my lifestyle, and I was caught up with it and loved it and thought it was great. And the whole hippie scene and sex, drugs, rock and roll, the 60s and counterculture revolution and rebellion, man, that was my tune. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't believe in Jesus, but God pursued me. God opened my heart to faith in his son. And when I really cried out to him and really said, Lord, I want to surrender to you and received his cleansing love, I said, December 17th of 71, I'll never put a needle in my arm again, and was free from that night on. Never did put a needle in my arm again. 2 days after that, I said, I'll never get high again. Had a couple times of minor temptation, one strong temptation. That was it, basically. I mean, it was pretty easy. by God's grace, to get off drugs. Much easier to get off drugs than to get off chocolate in 2014. Yeah, I'm totally serious, not exaggerating. All right, so right before I got saved, I came down with hives. Don't know what prompted it. I remember meeting with a doctor. My mom and dad brought me over to a doctor, and we were trying to figure out what it was that had caused this, and trying to see, you know, was it maybe, you know, just looking where it was in my lower back and different things, and maybe it was, you know, laundry detergent that switched, and I was having some reaction. Couldn't figure out what the cause of it was. But it was just miserable. Now, look, there are plenty of sicknesses worse than this. This is one of these really obnoxious ones, just this terrible itch, and these pink blotches would just swell up all over, these red blotches, and it would start my lower back and then go all over the back and then the legs and then the arms, and I'd be itching, and just, you wanted to cry, you were so itchy and you couldn't get away from it. And I remember, you know, what was it, Aveeno or something like that, and you take a bath with it, you know, and it would ease it a little bit. And it was right before I got saved, and it was, you know, miserable. And remember the doctor prescribed some drugs, and he said, look, it's going to take about 24 hours before these start to take effect, but then you'll see them taking effect, and then, you know, by the time you're done taking them, you know, once you don't see any side effects, any problems, any itching, then you could stop taking them. You know, and so anyway, I'd taken them and you know, getting better, and along this way now I've come to faith, but I'm brand new. I am brand new, and I don't know how a lot of things work. This much I heard, that if any two of you agree on anything in prayer, it'll be done. So I knew it's always important. And the church would always say, where two or three are gathered, there Jesus is in the midst. So always important to come together. That's one reason we come together. So I remember I'm a brand new believer, and hives breaks out, and maybe I didn't have the medicine right then, or either way, it's going to take 24 hours to take effect because I wasn't taking it at that point. It breaks out again, and I'm starting to itch, and it's nighttime, it's middle of the night, I'm starting to scratch, and it's now swelling, and now spreading all over my body, and it just was miserable. I remember crying out for healing. But I remember as I was praying by my bedside, I wasn't sure if God would hear me or not, because I was praying alone. You say you were that ignorant. Yes, I was that ignorant. I didn't know. I just knew that if two agree that something would happen, I was like magic. I mean, I didn't really understand, but I wasn't sure. I mean, I was that would give you a clue of how new and how raw I was. All right. And it's winter of 1971. That story will, that detail will be important in a moment. So I remember, I think I woke my mom up and just whatever, you know, get the bath thing ready and the Aveeno and whatever, or put the cream on. I forget what it was, but, you know, it got a little bit better. And then I started taking the medicine, and, you know, but I didn't get a miraculous answer. But I thought maybe it's because I'm by myself. Maybe when you pray by yourself, nothing happens. Could it be? Is it possible? Anyway, I take the medicine and I take it every day. And thankfully, after several days, everything's good, and I don't have any itch, I don't have any blotches, I don't have any sign of anything. So, time to go off the medicine. I'm on my way into school one day, brand new believer, on my way into school. It's winter, so I've got long sleeves and a coat on, all right? Flannel shirt and a coat. Going to school, end of 1971. And suddenly, I just feel like a little itch on my arm. What's that? It's a little. It's kind of a little itch on the back. Just something's going on. What's happening here? Huh. That's odd. And I think, wait a second. Your hives are coming back. Hives are coming back. And wait a second. You don't have any medicine with you because you thought you're over it. And even if you did, it takes 24 hours to take effect. And you're on your way to school. You're not taking a bath at school. You don't have a Aveeno cream. What are you going to do? And I remember just starting to think, oh my, just this little sense of panic. I know it was only hives. I'm just telling you, it was miserable. If you've ever had them bad, it was miserable. And next thing I can feel, oh no, they're spreading down my back, because that's what would happen first, spreading down my back. By the time I get to school, it was a 20-something minute bus ride for the high school we went to. I get there, and I get into a classroom. We had our little homeroom classroom for the special school I was part of called Student and Faculty Education. It's another long story, but anyway, 60, 70 students in there in this special program we had where we could kind of do what we wanted to do. And There was one guy, also a brand new believer, and he came in the room. So now I could agree with someone. Good, I could agree with someone. And at this point, I rolled up my sleeves. I said, oh my, oh no. Because the thing, all blotchy, big, ugly, red, blot up and down my arms, and just the itch was just terrible. And I just said, agree with me. The two of us were the only ones in the room right then. I said, just agree with me in prayer for healing. And we prayed a quick prayer. I don't even know if I prayed out loud, how we just closed our eyes and prayed. And the next thing, the room filled with people, and I got distracted, and the room's filled, and everybody walking around. And the next thing I realized, wait a second. I'm talking less than 2 minutes. Wait a second. The itching, all the itching, gone. Gone. I remember I rolled up my sleeves and gone, all the blotches disappeared. All of them disappeared. Gone. Gone for good, actually. Hey, that was an early intervention. That was God saying, I'm real. I save. I heal. Today, it made a deep impression on me.
God of light, hear our cry.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Listen, it's wonderful to hear. It's wonderful to hear that that around the world, God is working miracles. It's wonderful to hear about miracles in China and India and Africa. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to hear about things God did in the past in biblical days. But what about where you live? What about your own life? What about the here and the now? What about present tense? What about your own situation? And can God help you find your way? Can God give you wisdom? Can God give you guidance? Listen. We do not have this magic crystal ball or this, you know, genie in a lamp thing. And we just, okay, God, I need you to do this. Okay, God, it's not about me. It's about him. But he is a God who works in this world. And he is a God who meets you where you are and helps you in ways that only he can. That's why we have a Savior. Listen, if God cannot help you overcome sin in your own life, if he is unable to help you because your case is different, then he's not truly God. If Jesus can't really save you because your case is too unique and too complex, then he's not really the Savior. If the Lord can't deliver you because you are really, really bound, then he's really not the Lord. Those are simple facts. And when I talk to people from around the world, people who were former terrorists, yes, former terrorists, people who were former prostitutes, people who were former gang leaders, people who were former chief atheist skeptics, people who were leaders in other religions, Muslim leaders persecuting Christians who are now devout followers of Jesus, I realize that truly our God is the Savior. I realize that truly our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we cry out to him, we can see change come not just on a personal level, but on a familial level, through our whole family. Not just through our whole family, we can see change come in our communities. Not just in our communities, we can see change come in our nation. Now, I don't think one person praying alone is going to be able to see change come to a whole nation. But I think that corporate prayer from many believers around the world, as we take our responsibility to God seriously and our responsibility for him seriously, that we can see impossible things happen. Look, I first preached in India in 1993. 1993 was first time, and now 24 trips there in 24 years. The ministry that we work with has now planted between 7,000 and 8,000 churches in tribal regions in India, now in other cities, other locations in India. But they first started major outreach in a mountain area called Paderu in the state of Andhra Pradesh. And it was maybe in the old days, maybe roads are better now, but it was maybe a 4 or 5 hour road, treacherous road up a side of a mountain or side of mountains to get to Paderu in the tribal area from the city of Vishakhapatnam, where we'd be based. And the first year we were there in 1993, we took probably from arriving or from leaving our houses, Nancy and I and three other friends, from leaving our houses to arriving in Paderu, because it was pretty much one thing after another until we got there, was I think over 48 hours of travel and long train rides and car rides and so on. And anyway, God broke through in a very powerful way. And we ended up going up. We were going to be walking up one of these mountains and then going over to the other side to a village. But we never got there because we ended up ministering to a demonized girl. Her father was walking back just wearing a loincloth and, you know, just some drab, just shaggy, falling apart shirt. And with this girl who had terror in her eyes, she had burn marks on her. The witch doctor tried to burn demons out of her. She had marks on her arm where they tied her up and she'd broken free. You know, the mother and the father were there. They had just brought her to the village doctor and he couldn't help her. We heard the story. We began to minister to her. And after a couple hours of prayer, she was set free and the family prayed to receive the Lord. And it happened, I mean, just in this mountain, this area, you could see not far from where we were, dung from large animals because there were bears and tigers that populated the area. Now, it was as primitive a setting as I could possibly describe to you, okay? Not far from there, there were monkeys playing in the trees. And the night before, we had a powerful spiritual breakthrough. And I proclaimed the words of Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And just speaking these things, not that I was the prophet from Isaiah 61, that I was the Messiah, but proclaiming these words, that these were God's words of liberty, that these were God's words of freedom and restoration. We proclaim restoration, freedom to the captives. And because of the loudspeakers there and the fact that this was a tribal area, this went out for miles and basically through the whole tribal region, they could hear the preaching. And I proclaimed the words in Hebrew and then in English, and they were translated into Telugu for the people there. We had a powerful altar call. This is the most powerful one they had ever seen in the history of their ministry in the tribal region. And there was a sense with that being a sign the next day where that young woman was set free, that this was a sign of liberty coming to the captives. The next month, so that was February, March of 1993. The next month, they did their annual outreach into the tribal region where students from their ministry school and others that had graduated from ministry school went out. The women stayed back and prayed and fasted. The men went into these very dangerous, difficult areas and preached. The region was almost entirely unreached at that time. And we get a letter from India. It was before the days of faxes or emails. We get a letter saying, "We had the most miraculous breakthroughs. We saw signs and wonders like we've never seen there. We saw more people coming to the Lord than we've ever seen." And now, if you go there, every single tribe has a church. Every single village has a church. The whole place has been reached. It is an extraordinary story. We know the people firsthand. And we know those who've been beaten for the faith. And in one case, a man slaughtered for the faith, beaten and then burned, and his family told, if you say anything to the police, we'll kill you. And had the extraordinary privilege and honor. And how can you describe it? The privilege of washing the feet of that martyr's widow, washing her feet in one of the meetings. And this is serious, sober stuff, but the gospel spread there. And we saw when we were there something happened. There was a breakthrough in response to prayer and fasting. Captors were set free. I'm an eyewitness to friends. And my friends live there and minister there. I know the leaders that work with them. This is something that genuinely happened. Our God is alive and doing the impossible today. I want to encourage you to believe him for things that you and I cannot do. We do what we know how to do, but we rely on our God to do the impossible. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, we're going to go to the phones when we come back right here on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I was in Florida, and a couple came up to me to share a testimony I had not heard from the days of the Brownsville Revival. This is Michael Brown. We're talking about God's miraculous intervention. We're talking about the God who does the impossible on a personal level, on a corporate level. That's what we need right now in America. That's what we need. If you voted for Donald Trump, he's not the Savior. If you didn't vote for Donald Trump, you know he's not the Savior. Congress is not the Savior. The media is not the Savior. The church is not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. To the extent we join hearts, minds, lives with him, we can bring that message of salvation to the world. But I was in Florida a few years back ministering, and a couple wanted to tell me a personal story about a young man, their son or the son of good friends of theirs. I remember the story itself distinctly. He was a lost drug addict, lost. I believe they lived in Indiana. Lost drug addict. He was so messed up that they basically threw him in the back of a car and drove to Pensacola to take him to the services in the Brownsville Revival. And the kid, young man at that point, just slept. He was so out of it, so high on drugs, basically slept in the back seat of the car. They almost had to drag him in. They get to the meetings. I don't mean drag him in against his will. I mean, he's so out of it. They get to the meetings. He hears the gospel. He responds to the altar call. And he gets instantly and dramatically, not just saved, but set free from drug addiction by the power of God. He literally comes home a different man. And they told me he has been doing stateside missions, you know, reaching out to the worst of sinners and to those hurting here in America. He is full-time now basically a missionary to America. That was miraculous conversion. Multiply that tenfold across America. Multiply that 100-fold across America. Multiply that from every walk of life. Skeptics, atheists getting miraculously born again. Muslims, Hindus. There is such a thing as Jubus, but not Mundus. Muslims, Hindus getting miraculously born again. Drug addicts, alcoholics getting miraculously set free. Heterosexual young people into the party scene, homosexual young people into the party scene, getting miraculously, wonderfully transformed, set free, and on and on and on. Friends, this is what we need in America. The great solution to America is the Great Commission. The great solution to America is the Great Commission. And that comes in the power of the Spirit. I'll talk to you more about that in a few minutes. First, we go to the phones. An anonymous caller from Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Doctor?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
I love your show.
Well, thank you.
All right. So I just want to share my testimony. I have a lot of testimonies, but I guess the most recent one was I was unemployed for a year due to my fault. I had a great job, and something happened, and I decided to move on, and that was the worst idea I could do at the moment.
Mm.
And, you know, problems arise, and all types of problems, I mean, lots of problems, and families, physical and mental, and all types of problems.
Ew.
So I decided to pray about it last year, and I've been praying and praying and praying. Nothing came through. I was applying to different jobs, praying at the same time. Nothing came through, and I felt like the Holy Spirit kept telling me, like, you're not really fasting and praying. And I told myself, okay, well, if that's what I have to do to get my miracle, then that's what I'm going to do.
All right, stay right there. So you're praying, not seeing a change, and then you felt urged by God to pray and fast. What happened next? We'll be right back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, just to give a little perspective. As I was looking at our schedule for this week, we have different guests that will be booked out sometimes weeks in advance. Sometimes we get a guest the very same hour because of something happening in the news that's urgent. But we had a guest that would be coming out in the second hour, Dr. Scott Kolbaba, a medical doctor, talking about a book, Physicians, Untold Stories. When I stepped back and looked at the day, I thought, you know what, let's take a break from politics. Let's take a break from social, cultural issues. Let's take a break from focusing on problems around us and those kinds of issues. And let's just glorify the Lord. Let's just share testimony. Let's talk about his miraculous intervention. Let's encourage one another, both on a personal and a corporate level. Hence, the direction of today's show. All right, so speaking with an anonymous caller from Springfield, Virginia, you're talking about being out of work. You made a wrong choice. You're out of work. You're praying and praying and praying. Months are going on. You're suffering a lot of negative consequences in your life because of this. You've been praying, nothing happens, and now you feel prompted to pray and fast. Before you tell us what happened, why do you think this was so important for you to fast? I mean, we can't earn something from God. It's not like if we go on a hunger strike, he's obligated to answer. What do you think is the power of fasting?
I think that there are powers out there that are evil, and the Bible says that, you know, sometimes our faith is not enough and to bring down the strong man. And, you know, Jesus said to the disciples one time, the disciples said, we tried to cast out the demon, but we couldn't. And then Jesus said, there are some that don't come out without fasting and praying. So I think there are some powers that go against us sometimes. The enemy doesn't want us to prosper. The enemy doesn't want our financial breakthrough, or he wants to see us destroyed and in our marriage and our life and through all sorts of things. So, of course, I felt as though if I prayed and fast, I could at least break through that barrier.
Got it.
For my faith to grow up higher, to get to that point where I know that God was listening.
Right, so it's not a matter of earning something. It's a matter of more fully giving ourselves to something. A matter of more fully giving ourselves to God and saying, okay, this is so important that I'm abstaining from food or food or drink, whatever it is, and I'm giving myself in a focused way to pray. I'm saying no to the flesh and focusing on God the best way I know how to engage in a spiritual battle, or to give myself to God in faith. And when you did that, tell us what happened. How long did you fast and what happened?
So I fasted for 3 days. And after the third day, it was like on a Sunday, I got word from my employer that not to show up, my current employer, that I barely get any hours as it is. He told me not to come in on Monday. And I said, well, let me go back to where I left, which was impossible because a lot of reasons, and it was something very impossible to do, to get back to where I was. But so the following day, I went back, and when I got there, some people already told me, don't do it, you know, it's not going to work, and I almost turned back and went home. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah. But then something told me, like, just go. So I went up there, and I started talking to people. I talked about two supervisors, and they told me, no, you know, they just gave me the runaround, basically saying, we're not going to help you. So I was about to leave, and all of a sudden, at the end, one of them just came up to me and said, hey, you know, what's going on? This and that. And you know what? I have an open position for you. Mm. And I was like, why? Are you serious? He said, yeah, and I'm going to get you in here as soon as possible, and I was just amazed that nothing like that has ever happened. And not only did I get back, but my compensation is going to be even more than before, which is, I know I don't deserve that. So I just come to, that scripture comes to mind where it says, to him who is immeasurably more able to do than what we ask or imagine according to the work that's within us. So, you know, I give praise to God, and I just want to give hope to anybody out there that if they are going through a desert of unemployment and you feel like God is not coming through for you, maybe it's just your faith. You need to step it up and maybe pray and fast, and your faith will come up, because that's all it takes, a little bit of faith to move those mountains.
Isn't that extraordinary, though? First, the fact that after praying and fasting, finish that, and now the next day you get bad news. The next day things go from bad to worse, that the place where you're just trying to scratch together a few hours to do something, that door closes. And then you feel to do something that in the natural is not possible, and you're told by everyone around you it's not possible, and yet it was God. And, you know, look, I understand that this is not someone being raised from the dead, right? I understand that this is not about all of America being saved. But it's these specific kinds of things. These, like one of my friends used to say, when I pray, coincidences happen. You know, it's one of these things. Skeptics can explain it the way they want, and they say just a coincidence, or you just took the initiative. But you know the reality, and you know that when you felt prompted to give yourself to fasting, immediately, in this case, a breakthrough came, and the lessons are very, very clear. Hey, I appreciate you sharing that, and glorify God on the job there. I'm sure you will. And yet another testimony to his faithfulness. So listen, here's your takeaway. And by the way, somebody say, yeah, but not all the manuscripts say fasting and prayer, that this kind only comes out by fasting and prayer. Some just say by prayer. Yeah, and then other manuscripts, perhaps later, fasting and prayer. But we have enough examples in Scripture of the importance of fasting and breakthroughs with fasting. And many of us have experienced that. I remember years ago, and I'll get to the takeaway from all this in a moment, but years ago, we were just under attack. It was for Nancy and I, one of these times where we felt a unique spiritual attack coming against us, coming against our family. And one of these things where we're both simultaneously experiencing the same type of spiritual conflict and spiritual battle. And we're not into like naming, oh, it's this spirit or that spirit. We just knew what was going on. And I remember I got away to pray for a few days. And it was just this friend's had an apartment that was empty. And literally it had a mattress on the floor. It had like a light bulb in the ceiling. It had a working refrigerator. So if I wanted to, you know, get some food and keep it in there, I could do that. I think a chair, otherwise completely Spartan. And Nancy dropped me off there, and I was going to stay there for like 3 or 4 days and pray and seek God. And I remember just meeting with the Lord, but this thing that was hanging over us, this problem that was harassing us, it wasn't going away. And I just felt at the end, a day and a half, whatever, in the midst of it, just to fast. So in the midst of getting alone and praying during these days, I gave myself to fasting and praying and crying out. And I just felt, I remember the day when I felt the breakthrough came. The breakthrough came. Something happened because there was no earthly solution to the problem. And it was a harassing, difficult problem. And I remember at that moment, the sense of breakthrough, and basically got home, and that next week, everything turned around. And a door opened that had been closed, and a solution presented itself that hadn't been there, and boom, the thing lifted. And it had been months of challenge and one of the worst spiritual times for both of us, for either of us in our entire lives to this day. And this was decades ago that this happened. And that seeking God in prayer and fasting, the breakthrough came. So here's the takeaway. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Here's the takeaway. If we keep asking, knocking, seeking, the breakthrough will come. Here's the takeaway. If we seek him with all of our hearts, we'll find him. No, he's not there. Just push button, get a miracle. But he is a real prayer-answering God. And for those of you who are listening, rolling your eyeballs, saying, oh, is this some just Christian preacher on radio? Listen, I'm first and foremost a servant of the Lord, a child of God, a minister of the gospel. All right? And I am a radio talk show host who is, unashamedly, all the things I just said, a servant of the Lord, a minister of the gospel, a Jewish follower of Jesus. So I want to encourage you as a believer. And that's why, friends, I wake up every day with hope. That's why I see all the bad news and see all the chaos and all the shaking around us, And I recognize that God's moving in the midst of it and that he is truly bigger than all of these things. And that if we seek him, we can see the impossible happen in America. In fact, when we come back, I want to just share another story from my own life. But when we come back, I want to ask you some questions about which is less likely. It's going to encourage your faith. Which is less likely? What do I mean? You'll find out when we come back right here on the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I believe in miracles for today because I believe the Bible. If I never saw one, I would still believe it because of what's written in Scripture. If I never saw a sick person healed, I'd still believe that God heals today because of the clear testimony of Scripture. As I wrote in my book, Authentic Fire, I am sola scriptura and therefore charismatic. Because of the clear testimony of Scripture, I therefore believe in the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit for today. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 to the Corinthians, that his speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So their faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. One little thing that happened, and I could give you example after example after example after example like this. We've talked about physical healing. We've talked about deliverance from drugs and things like this. You just heard a caller talk about praying and fasting and then a breakthrough where an impossible door opened to get back an old job that he had foolishly lost. Well, let's see. This is probably in the late 1986, early 1987. And I was trying to finalize arrangements for going to, push it forward, around 1994, that's right. I was finalizing arrangements to preach in Finland and another trip to preach in Italy. And I spent a lot of my time in those days in overseas ministry. And the arrangements just got kind of stuck. They were not locking in, and we were trying to make plans, and my secretary working with me to try to make plans for travel and for other things like this, and unable to lock things in. And, you know, we're waiting for the fax to come in or the call. And so I'm praying one night, a little frustrated because trying to make plans and trying to finalize what's going to happen in these next months. And I feel in prayer that everything will work out tomorrow. Everything will be clear tomorrow about Italy, about Finland. Everything will be locked in. And I'm going to get a call from England. I hadn't been in England to minister since 87. That's why I was thinking 87. I preached in England in 87. I hadn't been there now in 7 years. And I just have this sense. Tomorrow, everything will fall into place from Finland and from Italy, and you're going to get a call from England. So sure enough, the next day, secretary calls, and she wants me to know. Yep, got a call from... It was a call from one of the countries, a fax from the other, and all the arrangements being made, you know, to lock in those dates for Finland, Italy, and a call from someone in England that I didn't know, never connected with before. Are you serious? Isn't that interesting? Just as the Lord laid on my heart. And I can't tell you how many times things like this have happened through the years. So later that day, set up the phone call. The gentleman calls me and he says, I do this annual leaders conference, about 120 leaders from the UK and other nations come together. It's 3 days and like you to come and speak at our leaders conference and then to stay over and preach at our church, about 700 people and do some other meetings while there. And he said, I don't know anything about you except the Lord laid it on my heart that I'm supposed to invite you. I read one of your books and I felt the Lord tell me I'm supposed to invite you. And I said, I don't know anything about you except the Lord laid on my heart. I was getting a call from England today, and I was going to go to England to minister. That's how it got set up. I found out how he got my book. It was Whatever Happened to the Power of God, with the subtitle is The Charismatic Church Slain in the Spirit or Down for the Count. Still in print today. I still highly recommend that you read it. What happened was that he was visiting a Scottish pastor who had a church on Long Island, all right? And he was visiting a friend that had preached for a church on Long Island, a Scottish pastor who had preached for a church on Long Island. And what happened was, when the Scottish pastor was there, they asked him around the church bookstore and said, hey, pick out whatever you like. There's only one book that he saw that interested him, my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, because I preached at that church. He goes back to Scotland. My friend from England is visiting him in Scotland, sees that one book in his office, says, I'm taking that and reading it. Reads the book and feels impressed. You need to invite this guy to speak at your annual leadership conference. And he became a dear, dear friend to this day. Isn't that interesting? Something like that, with larger kingdom implications and the connection that was very critical in years that followed, the friendship and the relationship that we had. This is the God that we serve. He can do things like that to direct your path. He can do things that literally change the course of history. And I want to encourage you to look to him and seek him like never before. He will come through. He will get you through. Even if he doesn't do it the way you expect, he will be glorified through it. So which would have been more likely? I wrote a whole article about this a month or two ago. Let's think about this. Which would have been more likely? 2 years ago, I tell you, Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States, or there will be a national revival. If you had a pick to do 2 years ago, I think the vast majority would say, I think a national revival is more likely. Let's go further. You ready? 2 years ago, I tell you, Donald Trump will be elected as president of the United States. And one reason that many Christians will vote for him is because he is going to be a champion of the pro-life movement and will keep his word to the pro-life camp and elect strongly pro-life justices to serve on the Supreme Court. Which is more likely, that that will happen or that there will be a national revival? You'd say national revival easily. Well, it happened. Now, I don't mean Donald Trump is a perfect man. Whether you voted for him or not, it's not even the point. I'm saying we're living in a day where highly unlikely things are happening, where highly impossible things are happening. And if that's the case, we should say, hey, why not go back to Scripture, which says all things are possible to him who believes? Why not go back to Scripture? It says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Why not go back to Scripture? Why not dust off your old journal with testimonies? Why not share stories as a family together and as friends and glorify the Lord and talk about what he's done to build your faith for the present, for your own life, for your own ministry, for your own family, for your own church, for your own community, for your own nation? Why not do it? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 866-348-7884, number to call. I know I'm out of time for this hour, but I've got one more hour, and I am going to be talking with medical doctor Scott J. Kolbaba about his book, Physicians Untold Stories, Miraculous Experiences Doctors Are Hesitant to Share with Their Patients or Anyone. Wow. So Scott Kolbaba and 26 other physicians, we're going to talk to him. All right, friends, I'm living in the midst of miraculous with Jewish ministry right now. I'm living in the midst of miraculous with God opening the biggest doors ever in our lives, 100-to-1 bigger than anything we've ever had, to bring the gospel to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, especially living in the land of Israel. And I want to encourage you to partner together with me. This is sacred work. We need your help. This is a joint effort. To the extent we have more workers, to the extent we can continue to get more materials out in Hebrew on the internet and other ways, in written form, print form, and video form, to the extent we can do that, we can reach millions of people. Yeah, I mean, a significant portion of the Jewish population we can reach with your help as we partner together. Join forces with us. When you do, and you become a monthly supporter, a torchbearer, we'll send you a copy of The Real Kosher Jesus in hardcover. We'll send you a powerful DVD from our Think It Through series, filmed live on location in key parts of America. We'll send you an audio CD of highlights from our Live from Israel last week broadcast. Go to thelineoffire.org. Join our team today. My bottom line, oh yes, with God, all things truly are possible. Yeah, the world around us is all messed up. Yeah, America is shaking, but God remains God. He's a worker of miracles. Let's glorify him today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, it's not exaggeration. It's not hype to say all things are possible with God. You might say, if God's doing so many amazing things, if God's doing so many amazing miracles, why aren't there more stories and testimonies? Oh, they're all around us. They're all around us. In a few minutes, you're going to hear from a medical doctor who, together with 26 other doctors, wrote a book on miraculous experiences that doctors are hesitant to share with their patients or anyone. In the first hour, I just spent glorifying the Lord, some personal stories from my own life, a call from a listener, just some illustrations of the living God working in a living way, meaning that, yes, we talk about moral, cultural issues here on this broadcast, but our solutions are ultimately gospel-based, and to the extent we can have faith in the living God, we can have hope for change today and a better tomorrow. You know what? Before I bring on Dr. Scott Kolbaba, let me grab one quick testimony here. We go to Fort Worth, Texas. Jessica, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon. I'm all ears.
Okay. I saw your post on Facebook, and I just want to say that the first 30 years of my life, I was decimated by disease and among the worst with seizures, and the best neurologist couldn't identify a cause. Mm. But I'm here to say that those same specialists cannot identify why I no longer have seizures, but I can.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
All right, Jessica, let's focus on the bad first. Mm-hmm. What kind of seizures did you have?
You know, it takes humility for me to say this, but they link them to psychogenic seizures. I do have brain lesions, which are identifiable on MRI, but because it was a mystery, the cause, they just chalked it up to psychogenic, which in the medical community means that it's how we're thinking that is causing a disease.
Mm. And what would happen when you had these seizures?
I don't remember. I would shake. I would tremble. I would not recall what was going on. It felt as though I was trapped inside my own body.
Yikes. And how long did they last for? What did you understand afterwards?
Each one would last a measure of minutes. And it went on for a season of about a year in my life.
Yikes. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously traumatic. And then when the doctors can't figure it out, you know, just put you under more stress. So how did you get free? What happened?
It was a process. It wasn't an instantaneous thing for me. But to be honest, I began to understand the whole of Scripture that teaches that all of our issues go back to the condition of our heart, like the parable of the sower describes.
Mm.
And as I began to overcome and be delivered by the washing of the water of the Word and just renewing my mind and really renewing the way I thought, Dr. Brown, my body began to line up with the healing promises in the Word. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's profound and it's mm-hmm. simple. Jessica, how long mm-hmm. ago was that?
12 years ago. I've been 12 years seizure-free.
12 years seizure-free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And listen, as you're talking, someone else is listening and saying, hey, if she got set free, I could get set free. And doctors right. do amazing work, but many times mm-hmm. doctors know they can't help. And other times doctors can't figure out what's going on. And sometimes that's all God at work to say, look to me and I'll deliver. And he knows how to deliver and he knows how to keep, doesn't he?
Amen. He does. And what he did for me, Dr. Brown, he will do for everyone.
All right. What a great way to set things up today, as we are about to talk to a medical doctor, the author of, or the compiler of, the book Physicians, Untold Stories. Jessica, I and my listeners, we together rejoice with you. The Lord is good. Thank you for calling.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we focus on God's miraculous power, on God's power to change lives, on God's power to change communities, on God's power to change nations, the living God alive today. You might say, if he really is God, if he really is doing the impossible, if he really is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why don't doctors talk about this more? Why doesn't the medical profession talk about this more? Why is it just some preacher out there talking about the miraculous? Hey, my focus today is to encourage you, to build your faith, to help you, to strengthen you. And I can think of no better person to speak with right now than Scott Kolbaba, medical doctor, practicing internist. And he interviewed 200 courageous physicians who came forward with 26 of the most miraculous experiences of their careers. So these stories, these 26 stories, all from physicians, are now published in a book, Physicians Untold Stories. And I was asked a few months ago, did I want to get a copy of this book? I said, sure thing. And I started reading it, and I thought, there's some incredible stories in here. Let's bring Dr. Kolbaba on the air with us to encourage your heart. Dr. Kolbaba, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, let me ask you this, just as a generalization. The miraculous, the unexplained stories of divine intervention, are they more common in the medical world than we might think?
I think they're common all over, for all of us. I think doctors, because of their position and because they are involved with life and death situations sometimes involving patients, probably have a little bit more experience like this, just because I think God intervenes and is looking out for all of us, and I think he acts through doctors in many cases, perhaps more than others. But I think it's a phenomenon that if you believe and you look around, it's everywhere. Miraculous things are happening all around us all the time.
Mm. And obviously, because doctors are in these life and death situations, because they know the way the body should respond in certain situations and shouldn't respond, and what medicine works and doesn't work, in that sense, they would have an even closer view of things that would be unexplainable, and that they might just have to say, hey, what can I say? This is a miracle. So in that sense, doctors could be eyewitnesses to the miraculous more than your average person.
You know, and I think they are. But, you know, docs don't talk about this because they're afraid of being criticized. You know, if you're a doctor, you probably have a doctor, and if you went to your doctor and he said, I had a dream about you, and I dreamt that you were going to have this particular problem, and therefore I need to do this test, and sure enough it came to be true, you'd like that, but you think this doc's a little bit off. And that's what all the doctors were afraid of, that people would criticize them if they came forward with these stories. So I was delighted when we had so many doctors that were willing to take a risk to come forward and tell these amazing stories.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that the concept of a risk, you know, when I was looking at the sheet in front of me with some background, and I read it earlier, that you interviewed 200 courageous physicians, mm-hmm. that it takes courage to do it because someone could think they're flaky. Look, if I was just an average person going to a doctor, mm-hmm. and you know, the doctor said, I had a dream about you, and we're going to run this test. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many people are going to say, that's wonderful, doctor, and I'm going to be back with all my friends? Here and there, some would. You know, mm-hmm. but plenty of others like, what do you had a dream? You're going to charge me for, you had a dream and you want to run a test that makes no sense. And yet you're talking about people who are responsible, people who are educated, people who are good at what they do. Tell you what, let's give some specific examples. Again, my guest, Dr. Scott Kolbaba, that's Kolbaba, his book, Physicians Untold Stories. Do you have a story in the book about someone having a dream because of which they ran a certain test?
Sure. One of my doctor friends, Dr. Rich Jorgensen, who's now a county coroner because he became allergic to the plastics in the operating room, had a dream about a good friend who was an appellate judge, and he dreamt that he saw him dead. And it was a very vivid dream. It wasn't the kind of a dream that you forget when, you know, the first few minutes that you wake up in the morning, you forget your dreams, and you go off with your day. this was a dream that was so vivid that he saw him in a coffin in the funeral home, and it was so vivid that he had to call him up the next day, and he said, "Rich," Dr. Jorgensen told the individual that he needed to get a physical because he was concerned because he said he saw him dead. Well, his friend, the judge, laughed about that and said, "You know, that's kind of funny, but I haven't had a physical for a while." So he did get a physical, and the physical was perfectly normal. The doctor did all the tests, EKG, chest X-ray, laboratory, everything was fine. And so the judge went back to Dr. Jorgensen and said, "Listen, I had my physical. Are you happy with me now? I'm fine. The guy told me that my doctor told me that I'm fine. I don't need to have anything else done." Dr. Jorgensen still had, you know, such a feeling about this dream that was so vivid that he said, I don't accept that. You need to see my cardiologist because this was such a vivid dream." So he was going out on the limb, you know, to tell him to do more than his own doctor told the judge to do. So he went to see a cardiologist. He had an ultra-fast heart scan, which was terrible. A stress test followed, which was awful. He was admitted to the hospital right away. They did an angiogram. He had what's called the widowmaker plus several other major coronary lesions. It was so bad that they did the bypass surgery the next day. They were afraid if they waited another day, he could die from his disease. He lived many years after that, perfectly healthy, and he thanked Dr. Jorgensen and his creator for intervening in his life and literally saving his life with a dream.
That's extraordinary, and that's in the book.
That's in the book, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Physicians' Untold Stories. Just want to reiterate that for our listeners. So how do you, and we're going to tell a bunch of stories, and I encourage folks to get the book and read it and be encouraged, be edified. How do you integrate faith and science in your own life? Are they two contradictory concepts, powers, forces, or do they seamlessly integrate in your own life?
You know, I think for me, I think they integrate because, you know, there are strange things that happen to all of us. And my partner, for example, has this little voice that he talks about. It's not a literal voice, but it's a feeling that he gets. And he was doing a physical on an individual for a preoperative exam for a total joint surgery. And after he saw the person later on in the day, he got this feeling that he needed to do a stress test. He had just this funny feeling that he couldn't get out of his head. And so he said to me, "You know, when I get that feeling, I don't ignore it because I know that there's something that's trying to help me with my practice and help me to guide me." And he did the stress test, and again, this individual had end-stage coronary disease, ended up with a bypass before his total joint surgery. So I think many doctors actually do listen to these little, whatever they are, premonitions or little hints from above, whatever you call them, and actually use them in their practice. So I think doctors do integrate religion or spirituality with their medical practice, and I think it's very compatible. And
now,
you know, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. What about the atmosphere, say in medical school or in the scientific community? Is there often kind of an anti-God mentality, as if it's anti-scientific to believe in God? Do you encounter that over the years
Yes.
of your training?
Yeah. And that's one of the things that drove me to write this book, because I see the world becoming more and more secular. And I've had some strange experiences myself that have helped me and guided me in taking care of patients. And I think, you know, many doctors started to come to me for some unknown reason with some of these bizarre and incredible stories. And I wanted to get this out so that people know there is something else out there, it's not just science. There's a force out there. There's a creator. I don't care what they call it, but I call it God, and they can call it what they like. But there's something that helps us, and it's beyond science. And the doctors that wrote that came up with these stories had experiences that you can't explain scientifically at all.
Yeah. So that the scientific conclusion should be supernatural intervention.
Yeah.
That if you want to be scientific and rational, that when you look at all the evidence and the evidence points you to the supernatural or points you specifically to God, then rational scientific inquiry should follow that. Instead, we often think of rational scientific inquiry as synonymous with unbelief, but it ought not to be. It ought to be that you follow the evidence wherever it leads, and if it leads to, the only logical answer here is supernatural intervention from an intelligent, caring being. Mm-hmm. That's the way that you have to go. All right, we come back. I'm going to ask to hear another story from the book Physicians Untold Stories, compiled by Scott J. Kolbaba, maybe a favorite one in his own life. If you have something miraculous that's happened in your own life, maybe divine intervention in the midst of something incurable, give us a call, 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I'm speaking with Dr. Scott Kolbaba. He is the compiler of the new book, Physicians Untold Stories, and it is miraculous experiences doctors are hesitant to share with their patients or anyone. Dr. Kolbaba, I know that every story in this book is precious to you, but was there one in particular or a couple that just, they're so shocking, they're so hard to believe that they raise eyebrows, except you know the people involved, you know the veracity of their practice, their character, their story. One or two in particular, just
sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. There are a number of stories, and the docs in the book, you know, there are lots of docs that I interviewed, and the ones that I selected were docs that I knew really, really well. I know some of these docs for 30 or more years and know of their character. And the one story I'm going to tell you now is about a doc that actually delivered two of our kids. And so I've known him for many, many years. This is Dr. Jack Heitzler. And Jack tells a story about his wife, who was delivering their fifth child. And it's a particularly moving story to me. It's one of my favorites. And she was, you know, when the wife of an obstetrician delivers a baby, everyone's fluttering around to make sure that they do all the right things. And there were two obstetricians in the delivery room and about three nurses. And Joan Heitzler was delivering their fifth child. And after the delivery, the Grandma O'Hanlon, who's the midwife, who is Joan's grandmother, walks into the room, saves Joan's life, and with two obstetricians there, she was able to recognize and save her life. And let me go back and tell a little history of Grandma O'Hanlon. Grandma O'Hanlon lived in Ireland, and during the time that she lived there, the Protestants and Catholics were fighting, and her father was hiding priests in secret rooms in their house. He thought this was a dangerous situation for his little daughter, so he sent her to this country to grow up, and she became a midwife and was a very spiritual individual. She would help with deliveries, and if the patients couldn't pay, she would work for free. She, you know, donated her time to all kinds of good causes and helped the poor and so forth. So she became the spiritual leader of the family. And when she got old, she moved in with Joan's mother. And Joan would say if she got in trouble, she could always make it to Grandma O'Hanlon's lap and she'd be safe. So they were very, very good friends, and their love really was an incredible bond. And so when Joan was delivering the baby, after the delivery, she started to have some pain when they were doing some of the procedures after the delivery. And so in at that time, Trilene, which is an anesthetic that you get by mask, was the drug of choice. And so they were about ready to put the mask of Trilene to put Joan into an unconscious state. And then Grandma Hanlon walks into the room, stands at the foot of the bed. She's dressed in a little white dress with a little blue polka dots and a sweater vest, her hair up in a bun. And she shook her head that she didn't want Joan to take the Trilene. And so Joan pushed it away, and she suffered some of the pain. And no one knew that Joan had eaten a large meal just before she went into labor. And after she pushed the Trilene away, she vomited the entire meal. Now, had she had the Trilene on and the mask, she would have aspirated, and she could have died from an aspiration of all the
the meal that she vomited. And so Grandma Henlon basically saved her life. And Joan says that she made it back to Grandma Henlon's lap one more time, their love transcending time and all eternity, because Grandma Henlon had died 22 years before.
Mm. All right, so in your view, the circumstances here, it's not just coincidence, it's someone having a sense and there's no logical reason for it.
Right.
It could even be counterintuitive, and yet they go with it and they get this kind of result, correct?
Yes, yeah. This was an amazing experience that she had. And then Grandma Henlon walked out of the room and was gone. You know, so... So you can't explain this scientifically.
Isn't that something?
And
Doctor, maybe one example from your own life that stands out to you in terms of divine intervention. What would you share with our listeners?
You know, I've got one that's not in the book. My editor threw it out, but it's one of my favorites. So I'm going to put it in my next book.
And do it. Do it.
I'm an only child, okay, so I'm terribly spoiled, and everyone knows that, and I was an only grandchild, too, and our family was very close. My mom and dad and I were very, very close, and, you know, I've lost other people as a doctor. You know, you lose patients here and there because they get old and they have cancers or whatever, and so I'm used to that, but when your mother dies, that's a whole different thing, and that really took me, it was a pretty hard thing to lose my mother. And so, you know, you wonder, will I ever see her again? You know, can she participate in our lives? And, you know, when one of our kids would hit a home run at a baseball game, for example, you'd like to run to the phone, pick up the phone and call your mother, but she's not there anymore.
Yeah,
you wonder
yeah.
if she, you know, could still see that straight A report card or the home run or whatever. And we used to go on vacations a lot with my family, and I love those. And I remember a special vacation we went on to Cape Cod with all of our family, and we have seven kids. I'm not sure where they all came from, but we've got seven kids, and they all came on vacation with us, and this was a really special night. We had a great day. It was a beautiful sunset. The boys were cooking, which we frequently do on vacation, and we'd gone to the store, and we bought some pies at the store. We bought five pies, which is about what we needed for the crowd that we have, and they were cherry pies, and when we were buying the pies, the boys started talking about their favorite pies. And my mother used to make a rhubarb pie from a plant we had in the backyard, and it was delicious. And every time we'd go there after I'd been married, we'd sneak into the kitchen with all the kids, and we'd grab spoons, and we'd eat right out of the pan, you know. The heck with the dishes. We'd just, you know, go at the pie, and we'd finish it off. And it was really incredibly sweet and delicious rhubarb pie. And we were talking about that this perfect night that we had this on vacation in Cape Cod, and we said, you know, if Grandma was here, she would bake us a rhubarb pie. And so we got done with our dinner, and it was just one of those incredible evenings that you'll never forget, because all the kids were happy, everyone was talking, it was a beautiful day. And my wife served us the cherry pie, and I took a bite, and I got goosebumps up and down my back, because it wasn't cherry pie, it was rhubarb pie. Now, I looked at the box, and it was clearly marked cherry pie, and there's a logical explanation that the cherry pie, you know, and the factory may have been put in, the rhubarb pie may have been put in the cherry box. But my interpretation is that she was there that night, and that she was with us, and it was a special visit that she wanted us to know that she was there enjoying the family event.
Mm. Hey, that's definitely a different one, and one of... obviously, personal significance. Hey, doctor, I know you've got to go and see your patients again, but thanks for sharing that. Thanks for putting the book together, and may God be glorified through it. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. Appreciate it.
All right. Friends, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. And there's a story that I read from Physicians Untold Stories that I want to share with you. I was edified by it. I want to share it with you. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I have a question for you today. Luke's Gospel, first chapter. Angel Gabriel comes to Miriam, better known as Mary in the English world, but Miriam, her Hebrew name, comes to Miriam, a virgin, young woman, probably a teenager at that point, tells her she's going to give birth to the Son of God. What? What? Are you serious? Are you kidding me? Remember, she's not heard this story before. It catches her completely off guard, but she believes. She does believe. The angel goes on to tell her that her older cousin Elizabeth, who is too old to have children, she's going to give birth to the forerunner of the Messiah, the forerunner of the Son of God. I have a question. Why does God do things in such impossible ways? Okay, Virgin Miriam, Virgin Mary, I understand the issue of not having an earthly father, not tainted with human sin in that respect, and being Son of God as well as Son of Man. Yeah, I understand that. But why was John the Immerser born from a woman who's told to have kids? What? Why not just have a normal birth? Why make it so difficult? Why does Abraham not have a child with Sarah until they're both too old to have kids? He 100, she 90. Why? Why? It is because God delights in doing impossible things. God delights in working through unlikely vessels. God delights in doing things that demonstrate nothing is impossible with God. And I want to encourage you today, in the midst of all the shaking we experience in America, there is never a moment of total calm in our nation. In the midst of all the chaos worldwide, in the midst of all the problems you might be facing personally, it could be bankruptcy, it could be a death sentence you've just been given from a disease, it could be a fractured family, it could be a kid on drugs, it could be any manner of things. I want to encourage you that the God we worship is a living God, that the God we worship is not just a distant God, but he is a God who is near, that the God that we worship truly has all power, that the God that we worship does impossible things, that the God that we worship truly loves and cares about us, and if we'll put our trust in him. Now, you can't just push a button and just have a happy life without conflict. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. There's always going to be difficulty we face. There will be problems. There will be challenges. But in all of them and through all of them, we can overcome. And God's grace is more than sufficient. And if we cry out to him, we will see him do impossible things. And that's what I want to share with you today. That's where I want to encourage your heart. And I want to encourage you to give me a call. I'm still going to have some time for some calls. I want to tell you some other stories, but I'll have time for some calls. If you are the direct recipient of a miracle, something the doctor said was incurable, be it a physical healing, be it a breakthrough in personal life, be it a deliverance from some life-controlling thing, and you're an eyewitness to the power of God, give me a call, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. That is the number to call. And do I want to share this story? Yeah, I got in my hands a book by Scott Kolbaba, Physicians Untold Stories. And there's a really interesting one right at the beginning of the book here. No, is this it? No, that's not the one. It's a different one. I'm going to find it and share it with you and then tell you a personal story from our own lives, from early in the marriage of Nancy and I, or the marriage of Nancy and I, or is it Nancy and me? Well, either way, the early years of our marriage, an amazing story I want to share with you to encourage your hearts. Today, I want to encourage you and then encourage you and then encourage you. I hope that's all right. Today on the Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I haven't shared this story in a long time, and I want to do it today. Those of you who listen regularly and you're expecting me to comment on the latest things happening with the Trump administration, or latest issue with WikiLeaks and CIA, or Planned Parenthood and abortion, or the latest battle in Texas over transgender bathrooms, or whether or not to boycott Disney over the exclusively gay moment that's being promoted in Beauty and the Beast, or where Israel stands in terms of security and the world, or a host of other things that we cover regularly. Oh, no shortage of topics to talk about, and they're all worthy of discussion, and things we have talked about, and plan to repeal Obamacare. The Republicans have anything better than that, and more issues about immigration and refugees and so on. We've been talking about those things. We'll continue to. And in fact, you can read my latest article. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and read my latest article. It was Franklin Graham Wright to call for a Disney boycott. It's on a number of different sites and getting a lot of attention, but you can read it at thelineoffire.org. Yeah, those are important issues, but it's important that in everything, we are people of faith. In everything, we are people who believe God. In everything, we're people who walk with God and know Him and have a relationship with Him. Jesus says in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice." Nowhere does it say only through the Bible. Nowhere does it say that. And the same Holy Spirit that led people in biblical times is the same Holy Spirit who lives in us today as believers, as followers of the Lord. And the same God that worked miracles then is the same God working miracles today. And there's testimony to them in case after case after case after case around the world. Okay, so Nancy and I married March 14th of 1976, which means next week, yeah, our 41st anniversary. We've known each other since the age of 19. And that was 2 years before we got married, and we've been together ever since. And what a wonderful, wonderful bride that I have. Can't imagine life without Nancy. Can't even begin to imagine it or think of it. So we're married, and 15 months into our marriage, our first child is going to be born. And in those days, the idea of having a home birth with a midwife was almost unheard of. You don't do that. You go to a hospital, and that's just what you do. And I remember Nancy saying, "Hospitals are for sick people. I'm not sick. I want to have the baby at home." I thought, okay, it's you're the one having the baby. Okay. So we went to these childbirth classes. It was called the Bradley Method, I believe, husband coach childbirth, which basically was being up close as your wife suffered. I mean, you're supposed to help them breathe, this. It's like labor is labor. Anyway, we went to those classes, and she read up a lot and all different things. And, okay, we're trying to find the midwife. And in those days, it was really hard. We lived on Long Island. But somebody knew somebody that could get us to a midwife. And it was all done secret. I'm telling you, it was a secretive thing. We had to drive into Brooklyn and be interviewed by a midwife there, who really saw if we were serious about this and why we wanted to do it, and talk to Nancy, get our perspective. And then based on us passing that interview, we were given the name of a midwife on Long Island where we lived. And we met with this midwife, and great gal from Jamaica, and just seemed like a real competent and confident person and the one you'd want there for the birth of your child. But because of legal situations and concerns, you had to have a backup doctor. And this made perfect sense. If there was any problem, you already had a backup doctor, and you'd know the ambulance is going to take you to this hospital, this doctor, etc. And the issue was that if you're more than 2 weeks early or more than 2 weeks late, you have to go to the hospital because they were not going to risk any type of home birth that could have complications. So we're coasting along in life. I'm finishing up college, and we had funds just to do that my dad had set aside so I could get through college, and then just working part time while in college. And Nancy worked, working part time, and then pregnant, and then stopped during the pregnancy, and everything's good. But once we had this whole arrangement about 2 weeks early, 2 weeks late, Nancy just started to feel the pressure. I mean, it's your first child, and we're young people. Got married. She had just turned 21. I was 2 days shy of 21. And, you know, all the pressures you're feeling now as a young mother and pregnant the first time and everything going on. And she said to me, we're going to have, everything's going to work out. I said, I just feel sure. And she's just looking at me to pray and know that everything's going to be okay. And as we got closer, she said, are you sure everything's going to be fine? I'm going to be able to have the baby at home. I said, yeah, I don't know if we're going to meet the deadline, but I know you're going to be able to have the baby at home. She looks at me like, what do you mean? You're not going to deliver the baby. It's not going to be you. I said, I don't know. I just know everything's going to be all right. And she's very, very strong, and she has a strong relationship with God. But at that vulnerable season, carrying the baby, she was looking to me, especially to cover. And that's very natural, especially in a relationship husband-wife. That's part of the role of the husband to be the one that's protecting in the midst of the pregnancy and having a baby and all of these things. So as we get closer, I'm thinking, okay, I'm figuring this out. You know, it's going to be 2 weeks early. I don't want to be too early. We're praying. And okay, good. She didn't go into labor 2 weeks early. That's good. Okay, everything good. Because I'm finishing classes now. And I have this, you know, extra classes I'm taking, and I'm going to be finishing in late May and whatever, and so on. And okay, good. So that's good. So I'm gonna finish. That's it. The wisdom of God. I'm going to get to finish my finals. And I had all these different language finals, these different tests and classes I'm taking. I'm going to get to finish my finals, and then good. And then baby will be born. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. No ultrasounds at that point, right? And okay, and I get through the finals, and as soon as I finish the test, I'd run to the payphone, I'd call home, everything okay? Yeah, okay, good. Because I didn't know, maybe she went into labor while I was taking the test. And slight problem, though, it's now we're getting past the due date, and I'm praying, and she said to me, we're going to meet the deadline. And I said, I don't know, but I know we're going to have the baby at home and everything's going to be fine. She said, how's it going to be? I said, I don't know. I just know everything's going to be fine. I just had this deep sense on the inside. Everything's going to be fine. So what happens is we're now getting closer. And okay, I think I need to fast. And I'm really going to fast for breakthrough and so on. And I go to fast. And I remember it just didn't even make it to lunch. I started getting a headache, and I thought, I'm having lunch. Oh, the great man of God, you can't even fast till lunchtime. So now we're getting close to the deadline. We've got to see the midwife, the whole bit, and Nancy's feeling increasing pressure. And we're doing everything we know how to do. You know, take a long ride on a bumpy road. Take long walks. You drink this to clear out your system. She's doing everything. No baby. No labor. So we have friends come over, and my friend and I, we're going to pray all night. We're going to cry out to God because it's the deadline's like the next day. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm tired. That's so much for the praying all night. And we go in, see the midwife, and because everything looked fine, she gives us a few more days, but we're going to have to go see the doctor. So we have this appointment to see the doctor, and Nancy's saying, at this point, we're now past 2 weeks. And that's the rule. If it's past 2 weeks, you got to go to the hospital. But because things looked all right, gives us a few more days. And everything to clear out the system, everything to go into labor, everything to have a baby, nothing happening. And she didn't want to get a shot to induce labor because you got to go to the hospital and the whole bit. And she wanted to do it naturally. And so we finally go to see the doctor. And I'm still praying. I mean, this is part of the praying all night. Nothing. No breakthrough. I can't pray. I can't pray effectively. I just have this sense everything's going to be fine. We're going to have the baby at home. So we go see the doctor. And the doctor goes through the whole exam, and you're okay. And he says, you're almost 3 weeks late. He said, oh, no. He said, you're not in labor by, so it's like this Wednesday, whatever. You're not in labor by Friday. That's it. You got to come in, and we're going to give you a shot to induce labor. And then she said, what is that going to mean? What are you going to mean? Extra this and extra that and so everything was going to be unnatural. And for Nancy, it was just very important to do it naturally. And I remember, so I got that next night to pray. And I remember I said to her, we're going to meet the deadline. I know it. For the first time, we've had all these other deadlines. For the first time, I know it. We're going to meet the deadline. I know it. And that night, I go to pray. Because now this is the next day, and this is it. If she's not in labor, she's got to go and have it induced. And again, for her, it was a big thing. And I remember it's midnight, I start praying. And I'm going to the Lord, and I'm seeking his face. And I'm on my knees. And I go to Luke, the 11th chapter. I'll tell you what happened next when we come back. Shake the nation, change the world. Change the world. God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's the situation. Here's the situation. It's the night of June 9th, 1977. If Nancy is not in labor by the morning, we have to go to the hospital, and she has to have her labor induced, and any hope of natural childbirth is over right then. Again, for her, it was very important. I know for many, you've had labor induced, you've had C-sections, you've had drugs to help during pregnancy and your birth, the baby is glorious and wonderful. So there's no, just for her, for Nancy, it was important to do it naturally. And there's no reflection on anybody else whatsoever. Just want to be totally clear on that. So I've told her, I know, I finally have the assurance we're going to meet the deadline. And this is the one deadline that was the real deadline. The others were artificial. That's why I never had that assurance. And I got on my knees to pray. And I remember the neighbors downstairs were playing music. It's kind of loud. And here it is midnight. So I had a bad attitude towards them. I thought, okay, forgive. Got to forgive from my heart. And I'm reading through Luke 11, which also mentions that very theme. And Jesus is giving promises for prayer there. And after giving a pattern of prayer in answer to the disciples' request, he says, he encourages us to ask, seek, and knock. Everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and when he knocks the doors open, he says, what man of there is you? What man among there? And this is Matthew 7, Luke 11, parallel passages. He says, what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone, or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a snake instead. If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, that's Matthew 7, know how to give the Holy Spirit, if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, Matthew 7, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask? Or Luke 11, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And encourages us to knock boldly, even like waking up a friend at midnight if you have a need. And I was supernaturally full of faith. I was supernaturally full of faith. And I was ready to stay on my knees and pray all night. And I knew that we're going to have the breakthrough and that Nancy would be in labor by the morning. I knew it. I was absolutely sure. All these weeks leading up to it, no assurance of time. All these weeks, just this assurance, we're going to have the baby at home, but no assurance we're going to meet the deadline. And then finally, the final deadline, which is going to be 21 days late, and that's when I knew that we're going to meet that deadline, and the baby's going to be born at home. And I'm on my knees praying, and I remember saying, God, it was so clear. What can I say? It was so clear. It was as if God himself was telling me, I'm promising you. Mike, I'm telling you, this is the truth. I'm telling you. It was as if it was just face-to-face clear through the word. And I remember saying, God, you knew that on this particular night, I would be on my knees praying. And you knew that I would believe you, that what you wrote was true. And if you didn't mean this, then you'd be a deceiver. If you actually didn't mean what you said here, then you'd be a deceiver. And that deception would reflect, you wouldn't be telling the truth because you said something that you knew I would take at face value and believe according to what you had written. And you knew I'd believe you. And if you didn't mean it, you'd be a deceiver. And that's not who you are. And I was in the midst of this prayer of just knowing that I knew that the promises were true and that was an answer that God was sending and that she would go into labor now. And she comes walking out of the bedroom. And she wants me to know what's going on, and that her water had broken, and that she's in the beginning of labor, and she had just waited a little while to tell me, to be absolutely sure, when we compared on the clock, when she knew, it was 2 minutes into when I started praying. I was ready to be praying through the whole night. It was 2 minutes into when I started praying. Oh, she had a challenging labor, almost 24 hours, and a difficult labor. And yeah, it was labor. And our first daughter, Jen, wonderfully born in June 10th, 1977. But I share that with you just because of this reality. First, God's timing is not what our timing often is. All right, that's number one. God's timing is often different than our timing, and we need to trust him explicitly. That's number one. Number two is that he is faithful to keep his word. He is a God who makes promises, and he keeps his promises. He's not a God of idle talk. He's not a God who speaks in empty ways. Yes, I believe in reading promises in context. Yes, I believe in rightly interpreting the word. No, I don't believe we have a God that's just at our service at the push of a button, like some genie coming out of a lamp. No, he's the transcendent, almighty, all-powerful God whom we serve, whether he ever did anything for us or not. But the fact is, he's good. The fact is, he's a loving father. The fact is, the stories in the Bible are not just there as stories. And I could tell you time after time after time in my life, where a specific leading from God was life-changing, where a clear word from the Lord was life-changing, where God's power to heal or set free was life-changing. Not just what I heard about taking place somewhere else, what I've seen with my own eyes and witnessed with my own eyes. And years ago, when I was reading some literature by atheists, I was going to share one more story out of this book about physicians' untold stories, but actually won't be getting to it. But I remember when I was reading some atheist literature some years back in the days where Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris and others had a bit more attention than today. So I was trying to understand their arguments and read more of the literature. And I just started to journal or make notes in one file about miraculous things I had witnessed firsthand, divine intervention, things that had no rational explanation. Look, it's one thing. It's one thing if you were terribly ill and then you woke up one morning completely fine. It's another thing if you were terribly ill, if you went to doctors and the doctors said, "We're so sorry, there's nothing we could do for you." And the Lord tells you, on such and such a day, you're going to wake up totally healed. And five different doctors will examine you and say it's a miracle. And that's what happens. It gets your attention. It gets your attention. And I started to journal things, be they prophetic words, be they healings, be they divine leadings, interventions. And as I started, I thought, boy, I wish I'd written them all down over the years, because there are many you just forget over the course now of, you know, over 45 years of following the Lord. But the more I wrote them down, the more I said, you know, I would have to deny reality to deny divine intervention. I would have to deny reality to deny God's ongoing hand. I would have to deny reality. I would have to be irrational. I would have to shut my mind to evidence to say I have not seen the leading of God, the goodness of God, the intervention of God. Not just, I was feeling gloomy and then the sun rose in the morning. No, not that. Not that. Not, I needed some encouragement and then I opened the Bible and I found a good verse. No, I mean something far more, where specifically you say, hey, that was the hand of God. Put your trust in him, and put your trust in him not just for yourself, but go to God for our nation. We can have a great awakening. America's best days can be ahead. Your own best days can be ahead as you put your trust in the living God. Friends, we have thousands of hours of resources for you on our website. Go to thelineoffire.org. Explore the digital library. Be blessed, be built up, be strengthened. And if you believe in what we're doing, partner with us. Help us to expand this work to reach even more. My bottom line today, all things are possible to one who believes.